Pope John Paul II today presides at a welcoming ceremony at Catholic World Youth Day in Toronto. Despite advanced age and deteriorating health and warnings that he should not travel, the Pope has made the trip in hopes of engaging and energizing young Catholics, whom he calls the future of the Church. From Toronto, NPR religion correspondent Duncan Moon reports.
The Pope will appear three times during World Youth Day, a measure of the importance he places on reaching out to Catholic youth. In recent months, he's looked increasingly frail, but the prospect of meeting with so many young people seems to have stirred a new reservoir of inner strength. Dr. William Ladue, the author of The Chair of St. Peter, A History of the Papacy, says that kind of determination is one of the Pope's great gifts.
One of his most important contributions has been his willingness and his eagerness to travel the world. And in these visits, he manifests a genuine and authentic love of humankind, and he's rendered the office of the Pope present and visible everywhere.
It's that personal touch that draws 20-year-old Juno Orocho to the Pope. The Seton Hall University senior says the Pope's efforts to overcome heavy obstacles and come to Toronto inspires him.
I guess what I'm trying to find is more strength. You know, just seeing the Pope over there just strengthens my faith even more. Seeing how he is, seeing in his weak state that he still moves on.
But given the Pope's increasing frailty, some Catholics wonder how capable he is of actually communicating with the new generation. His speech is slurred and he tires easily. And Father Richard McBrien, the author of Lives of the Popes, says he does not think the Pope will be able to leave a lasting impact on the young people here in Toronto.
I think young people will still see him as a celebrity, they'll cheer him and respond, but he's not going to be able to interact with them in the way that he has done at previous meetings around the world.
Father McBrien says many young people still respect the pontiff, but any effectiveness he has left to influence young Catholics is the result of past achievement. For example, he says,
we wouldn't send Bob Hope out to, entertain the troops. He's still alive, but, you know, he's not in any position to do something like that. Now, if Bob Hope could do it, you know, it would be ecstatic and give him a standing ovation because they would really be cheering the Bob Hope of yesteryear. And I think that's the situation now with John Paul, too.
Stanley Hauerwas, a professor of theological ethics at Duke Divinity School, says the Pope does have a lasting legacy for a new generation of Catholics, especially young conservatives who think that the Church should be ruled by a strong, centrally controlled hierarchy.
What I see in many of the students that I teach that are Roman Catholic, they're really wanting to reclaim a disciplined Church. And John Paul II just happens to be there representing that set of concerns. So many of the younger generation are recovering what their mothers and fathers thought they wanted to reject.
But that same desire for orthodoxy turns off many Catholics, especially Americans who prize their individuality. Professor Jay Dolan, the author of In Search of American Catholicism, says the clash of these competing ideals is very difficult to bridge.
I think in our country we cherish freedom. We cherish the freedom of the individual. We cherish freedom of thought, intellectual freedom. And these are ideas that aren't looked upon very favorably within the Catholic hierarchy.
The Pope has his work cut out for him. Only around 200,000 young people have registered, making this the least well-attended World Youth Day since he established the event in the mid-1980s. But officials in Toronto say they are hoping the numbers will grow now that the Pope has arrived, and that by the time he says Mass on Sunday, they will have a full house. Duncan Moon, NPR News.